right here, so. What are we talking about? He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. What's been going on, brother?
Not much, brother. You know, just counting down the days till we can get back on that golf course.
I know, man. I know. 2 week countdown is on.
That's 3 weeks today.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's 21 days till the 29th. So it's three weeks.
Yeah, but listen, everybody knows you don't count the week you're on. This week has been took out.
Okay, two weeks. The closer we get, the better.
Yeah, well, we did do a bit of filming, didn't we, there, which gave us a little taste of golf.
A little taste, yeah. Video coming very soon. We've done a production with a couple of professional golfers. And I'm going to release the video this week in anticipation for the Players' Championship, which we're very, very excited about, aren't we, Kevin?
I know, but let's just get in the clubs. I was having a few swings, even putting my golf shoes and my golf clothes on. I feel like I can't wait for it.
I know. We should be getting excited for an official month's countdown to take, you know, shouldn't we? But
I know.
It's being absolutely cancelled.
Absolutely cancelled, though. I've actually never heard anyone use them two words like that.
It was a good time to use it, considering that we're absolutely devastated.
It was.
How's everything else, mate? Okay.
Good, yeah, it's good. I've kept up my 5Ks a day. You know, when I was doing that we were meant to be doing that 5K a day challenge, which you seem to have spewed on day three.
You done well on that. Anyway, well done. How much did you raise?
I personally raised about 250. Well, we personally raised about 250, and the charity actually done about, I think it was up like near 20,000. You know, and like we got a little breakdown of all the. I'll actually post it on the socials. Actually. Of all the breakdown of how many children it helped, how many families were given money and how many kids received, you know, presents and different things. And it's all in the local area as well. So it's quite close to home and our hearts for me and you. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely. Yeah. Then again, a shout out to everyone who supported us through the link in our bio. Yeah. Goes a long way for underprivileged kids in the area. So thanks a lot.
It's still going as well for another couple of days. So you could actually get back on yours 5Ks a day if you wanted.
Oh, yeah, I'll get out and do one after this then.
Lovely.
I'll let you know how it goes.
You heard it here. I will be on his back, and if he doesn't go out after this, I am going to be on him, listeners.
But golf news around the industry this week. We've just had news, haven't we? Brooks Koepka's pulled out of the Players' Championship with a reoccurring knee injury.
Seems very injury-prone, this fella, doesn't he? Seems to be getting a lot of the wrist and knee. Now it's his knee, like his neck was sore at the what was last when he won
the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Waste Management, yeah. His neck was sore then, or was it the Genesis? One of them, like, in the last couple of weeks, he kept getting a massage off his caddy was pushing in on his neck and stuff. Like, seems to have a lot of injury problems.
It does. I think when you swing at it that hard. Like, Tiger's good enough proof for anyone, isn't he? When you swing it that hard, you're going to get injuries. Look at his knee, look at his back. But yeah, so there's 48 of the top 50 playing this week because Matthew Wolf's not there either. I actually don't know what's up with Wolf, to be honest, but he withdrew.
I thought he's probably done, and I haven't read this, but like, and you can fact check this, but you don't really have to because it's definitely a fact. He's faked that injury to get that 32 grand from last week.
He's still just flying around Florida having the time of his life, isn't he?
Well, three of the top 50 because Tiger Woods isn't playing either.
No, he's outside the top 50 now. Tiger, 57th.
He's outside the top 50, is he? Yeah. Do you know what? He should be still be world number one. If he didn't change the world rankings, I think he would have only just been caught like next year.
Yeah.
When he was that far ahead, he changed the ranking system to catch Tiger. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
I wonder when he would have got caught on the old system.
It'd be interesting to see that, because how long was he on? He was world number one for 500 and odd weeks, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you how it works. It works. If you come second, you don't seem to move up the rankings, because Tony Finau just doesn't seem to move, does he? And if you packed your Cantley, you just jump into the world top five out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Out of nowhere. Well, he's been playing well, though, hasn't he?
Nah, he has. He hasn't been finishing, like, checking, like, Finau, though, has he?
He won last year, towards the end of last year, didn't he? Or I think it might have still been this season, but the end of 2020.
And a win must bode well better for you, mustn't it?
Yeah.
In golf news, though, well, not golf news, but Tiger news, I read a little report saying that the man who actually found him, because all the reports said that he wasn't unconscious, and the man who actually found him has said now that he was unconscious, and now the sheriffs have requested the black box from the car. They must have had a recording device in the car, like on the airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
So now if they get some footage off that, there could be another little twist in the tale.
There's been reports in the newspapers about when he was asked about how the accident happened. He's just said he doesn't remember being in the car and he doesn't remember driving. He doesn't actually remember getting in the car. So numerous doctors have spoken out and said that the outlook doesn't look good. One doctor said he's lucky to be alive, which we obviously know. Another doctor says he has a very good chance of a normal life, which when we're thinking of getting back to golf, if he's saying he's got a very good chance of a normal life, what are the odds of him getting back on the golf course? And then another doctor saying Tiger has a very, 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 use the word very three times, long recovery ahead. And based on the information we have, returning to an elite golfer would be very challenging.
Who are these doctors?
I knew you'd say that. I have no idea. It just says doctors.
Are they just saying it?
No. Well, they'll have the data because it's saying based on the information that we have. So they've got some form of data.
I want the phone numbers. I want to speak to them now.
So another article said they don't know the extent of his other injuries yet because he's still recovering from the main double fracture. So once that's healed, then they can look what the rest is pinned, isn't it? So once they pull the pins out, and they can see the extent of the damage on his ankle and his foot. Sorry to burst your bubble, mate.
I forgot all about his injury. You know? I'm just going to see him texting Bryson. I thought he'd be back next week.
Well, he shows he's in good spirits and he remembers who Bryson is. So although he couldn't remember getting in the car, you always worry what damage has happened to his brain and his head. But, you know, if he's still getting about and texting the lads.
Well, look, as we said last week, selfishly, we want him to be playing golf again. But as long as he's alive and healthy for his kids and his family, that's the main thing, isn't it, really?
Definitely, yeah.
Well, the main thing, or is golf the main thing? It's a toying cost, isn't it?
Toying cost. A toying cost. You're in an emotional state at the minute, aren't you? This Tiger is
gone, you know, fuming.
Completely lost control. So Tiger, obviously, as always, we'll keep the updates coming on a weekly basis. Like everybody else, we don't really know what's going on. We're just reading between the lines. He's obviously in good spirits if he's texting Bryson and he's talking golf. We'll just watch this space and see what happens with the main man.
And probably most of the listeners will agree with me when I say I hope that everything you've said is wrong.
Listen, me too. I hope it's wrong. I hope it's wrong. I'm just reading what I've read, you know. So it's not what we want to hear. But again, from the information we've got, it would be challenging for him to get back. So we're talking about Tiger Woods here at the end of the day. Like you said, priority number one, make sure that he can get out of hospital, he can walk and he can get back to his family and he can live a normal life. Once he's done that, then let's get him back on the golf course. Once he's done that, let's get him back to the Masters. And when he's done that, let's get him another green jacket.
Let's get him, yeah.
It's a long road to recovery, and we'll come on to the Arnold Pan, but while Tiger's out, we do need as much entertainment in the golf industry, and that's what Bryson gives us.
Oh, not half.
Not half.
Not half.
Before we come on to that, I just wanted to obviously give a mention. It's International Women's Day today, isn't it? One piece of news that came
around
out.
Around the world!
International Women's Day, as we know, celebrating the women. There's news come out that there's a golf tour, Women on the Tee. It's for senior and mid-amateur women in the UK. So if you're looking for a Mother's Day present, £30 to join the tour.
Amateurs?
Amateurs, yeah. Yeah, it's only open to women. It's £30 to enter the tour, and they've just released the schedule. So I think there's four or five events starting in May. It's for that age category only.
It's like when that Sophie Walker was saying, there's a lot of girls at the bottom, and there's a lot of elitists. There's not many 35-year-old social golfers, is there? Really? Talking about?
Well, that's hopefully that these type of tours get about. Me and you, what are we? We're 32 now. What are you, 33? So we're going to be mid-amateurs soon, unfortunately.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But there's loads. I could think of probably 30 mid-amateurs off the top of my head now, just a formula. I can't think of one girl.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like that. There is a something needs to change.
Gap in the market.
Definitely.
More tours like that. It's going to encourage more of them to play, isn't it? So.
Well, yeah. If it, that's what I was saying to my girlfriend, and I said it to that Sophie Walker as well, didn't I? That if you had more girls playing the sport for fun and like taking a bit of champagne on the golf course and going out there and like having a buzz, these influencers going around at like 30 and like these sort of ages, 20, late 20s, 20s, you're gonna be like, wow, girls could see and think, wow, that actually looks fun. That even if it's 9 holes or 5 holes or something, just do it. Everyone knows the fun you'd have when you're out on the golf course having a bevy, innit? You know what I mean?
It's unbelievable. There's nothing better.
So, yeah, it's just make it more appealing.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Didn't loads of the women come out was in a bit of a stink this week as well, though, over the modest golf move with the influencer? Speaking of influencer.
Yeah, there was, yeah. There was a bit of a... I don't know whether it was big news. I haven't seen it in the papers, but just reading between the lines on the social media pages, yeah, they've signed an influencer... who's just been playing golf for over 12 months, and there was a bit of negative feedback off that about how elite amateur golfers who could have been supported through Modest and be funded through that, but they've chosen an influencer. So there's pros and cons for both, isn't there?
Well, I think that it's a good move because, like I've just said, if you want to get more girls to be doing things, you need to be seeing more girls on social media who have got a big pull.
Yeah, exactly, because if she's out there promoting it and she's got thousands of people who are influenced by what she does, it's going to then entice more people. And Modest Golf have got a lot of women following because of Niall anyway, because of who he is with One Direction and the band he was in. So again, if he can get he's even come out and said if he can get a small percentage of his followers playing golf, it's going to be a massive growth for the game anyway. And they're all the majority are young girls anyway. So
that's it, exactly. And then, so I think if the elite girls that they say they could have used the money are angry, or some of the pros are angry at the move, then it's a sort of a bit of a selfish twist on it, because if you want more girls in the game, the way he's doing it through the way he can is the best way.
Yeah, he's thinking. He's probably thinking longevity, isn't he? He's thinking in the long run. If she can get 1,000 young girls into golf, then that's better than funding 2 or 3 professional golfers to go and
who
play.
Who are already in the game?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But and then I don't reckon he's ruled out bringing on a few elite amateurs and all different things. Has he? He's probably not. He's not saying that. It's just they're trying to take it off here because she's only been playing a year. But I think that's even better.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. There's an argument for both. I do understand some frustrations. If girls are putting all the hard work in, there's not that much money in the game, and there's an opportunity to back them so they can make it to the next level. But it's not all down to Modest Golf. There's other sponsorships that are out there that could be pushing the game forward, and they don't. So, but we can touch on this later as well, but it goes on to the fact that even this week, you've got the LPGA Tour Drive On Championship being played at the same time as the PGA Tour. And you talk about money being invested in the sport based on viewings, but more people are inclined to watch the men's game than the women's game because it's more entertaining. Just look what Bryson's done.
And it's in the same area, so if you're going to go and watch one of them, you're going to go to the PGA Tour, aren't you?
This is it, yeah. So I think more needs to be done from that perspective. Even when you're covering it, there's enough hours in the day to cover both tournaments. Even if you start one really early and there's a bit of a crossover,
I wonder, I know this could just get rubbish here, but imagine, like, I know it's all International Women's Day and, like, you can't separate them and all that, but could you not just start the women's on a Monday to the Thursday and start the men's on the Thursday to the Sunday, do you know what I mean?
You could, yeah.
With the weekend viewings a bit more, like, spectator-bound, more people go on the weekends, more money, I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, you probably get more spectators of a weekend because they're not working, but... how many spectators are you getting at the women's game anyway? So
you get more eyes on the telly maybe at Monday to Sunday. You know what I mean? Like it's, I don't know.
Interesting one. But yeah. It's what?
I'd say it's being considered, maybe. Or absolutely rubbish.
But yeah, there's plenty of things that can be done. But as I say, it's going in the right direction, the women's game, isn't it? So growth in the game in general is good. So whether it's in the men's game, in the women's game, the more people that want to tune in, watch, listen, whatever, it's going to grow the game, isn't it?
Definitely.
Right, then, before we move on to the Arnold Palmer, we've been doing our quizzes, so I want to push this quiz in a bit early.
Go on. I'm ready.
So it's only four questions, quick quiz, quick fire rounds, but I'm not going to do wrong answers this week.
Go on, then.
Changing it up again. We'll find a niche, and then once we've got that, then we'll move forward with that. But for now, we'll just play around with it. So four questions, relevant stuff that you should know, and let's see if you can get it. Yeah, are you ready?
Well, no pressure saying stuff that I should know. Like, well, go on.
You know what I'm like. I want that point. Bryson DeChambeau recorded the longest ever drive on the sixth hole this week. How long was it?
377.
Yeah. Am I giving you that? That was a pause. What's happening there? You say 70 and then threw a 7 at the end. Right.
Because I've seen your face, not I thought there's gonna have to be more of this.
Yeah, 377 on the he hit it 370 on the Saturday and 377 on the Sunday.
Nice.
Tiger Woods has won 15 majors, but what major has he won the most?
The Masters.
Yeah. Bonus point, you know how many times?
5.
Well done, sir. The highest ever score at the 17th in the Players' Championship is how many?
12.
Well done. Do you know who it was by?
Bob Tway.
Well done, Kevin. Who has won the most Players' Championship titles?
Ooh.
Ooh. I think I've got you.
Gary Player?
No.
Nah. Fred Couples?
No.
Tiger Woods?
No.
Go on then.
Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus. I reckon I would have kept going for a good 40 odd things before I got to him, you know. How many has he won?
He's won three.
Three. I knew it was three. That's why I went, because I've just seen a video of Fred Couples. Yeah. I've seen a video. Has Gary Player even won it?
I don't remember seeing his name. He may have done. But nice. talking about wins on the PGA Tour, Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, unbelievable.
What can we say about the man?
Well, we can say that every time he comes on the telly, Miguel goes, DeChambeau.
Why?
That's what she thinks it says.
DeChambeau.
DeChambeau, yeah.
Let's talk about that drive on 6.
Oh, let's talk about the reaction. Like, yeah!
Unbelievable. We talked there about Tiger Woods and how he's missed in the game. And the reason we love Tiger outside of his golfing ability is just his ability to electrify the place, isn't it? Just his energy. Bryson DeChambeau is bringing that back, isn't he?
He's bringing a big fun element of it for the crowd. Like, and the crowds were back this weekend, they were loving it. But Tiger brought the spark when it was needed on the 18th to win. Then yeah. Them shows and roars that he ran in. That he is doing it.
He hasn't got the roars. I'll give you that. He hasn't got the Tiger roars, but it's going to be very difficult for anybody to get the Tiger roars. He built the 67 up at the Masters and completely failed. It didn't work out for him. He's actually backed it up this week.
See, I know. And every time I seen him nail on them drives dead straight and he had it and he was hitting it. He was it seemed in control, didn't it, really, even though it was going that far. Yeah. I was thinking, oof, Augusta could be a bit worried there, you know?
Yeah, this is it. This is it. He's had time to bed in because you've got to think of the change, the massive change, and he kept bulking, but he seems to have lost a bit of weight now, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, and he's steadied out, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think you can see his chin's a bit more drawn in now. He hasn't got that little pot belly that he had. He's sort of slimmed down, but he's kept the frame and the strength, yeah, and the speed. So, I don't know. I think he's tuning into he's tuning himself into this absolute beast. I was a bit not really sure about this because after he won the US Open, I was thinking, here we go. He's going to kick on and win more. And then he just seemed to come off the boil. And then what he'd done at the Masters and then DJ was so dominant. But after watching him this week, I don't know. I'm sort of thinking he's going to be a force again.
Mate, honestly, the key shot for me from this tournament was on Saturday into 18, and Radar was down there, and he was saying, like, I've been over there, and this is past your ankles, like, this is a chop out, like, this is a gouge out, even for him, and he just gets some sort of wedge to it, and just hacks it right out on and puts it straight middle of the green. And it was just like, wow, this is pure strength at its best.
Well, this is it. Exactly what he done at the US Open when people said, you can't do that. And he done it at the US Open. And you've got that kind of rough round there in Florida. He's showing that. He can hit good golf shots, but when he doesn't hit the good golf shots and he does go slightly offline, he's got the ability to still hit the green from these ridiculous positions.
I know. And when every hole he seemed to be making a hash of, he'd bomb a 40, 50 foot at him, wouldn't he? It was just all round. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't perfect all round, but it was good enough in every area, obviously, to get the job done. And it was impressive. And it looked boss on telly. It was great telly, wasn't it?
Well, this is the thing. It's we talked up there about the women's game and what needs to elevate that to the next level. It's sport. It's entertainment. Exactly. You know what I mean? You can. I know there's a professionalism to it, and I know there's golf etiquette, and we talk about that all the time. But seeing him step up on that 6T on the Saturday, the crowd were like, "Oh, what's he going to do?" There was a bit of mystery in the air about what he was going to do. And then he talks to his caddy, he looks. And all he done was teed it up and looked left. And as soon as he looked left, the crowd went wild. And it was just, it's exactly what you want. I was sitting on the edge of my seat going, go on, get over the water. And he does it again and the crowd just go off their nuts. It's just, it's exactly what the golf needs.
But both times he missed the green.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
It's just funny, isn't it? Like
it is, yeah.
That one on the Saturday, he could have went to the actual green, couldn't he?
Definitely. And I think he carried it long enough to probably just reach there. But he'd never been able to hold the green. I think what he'd done on Saturday, if he'd aimed it a little bit more left and put a bit more hook on it, he could have potentially held the green because it was coming in on the side. But to go straight for the green, there's no way you're holding it.
You're asking a lot, though, aren't you, to be holding
You're asking a lot just to hit the thing, never mind hold the green.
Unbelievable, though.
But, yeah, it's quality to see.
Even on the Sunday, wasn't it, on 15 or 14 when he hit it, and then he thought he'd cracked his shaft.
Yeah, well, it was the tee, the noise off the tee. You mentioned there about his all-round game was good, and it goes to show in the statistics, 32 out of 54 fairways he hit. He was the longest average on the field, 321.4 yards, and he was second strokes gained tee to green, only behind Lee Westwood. So his all-round game and his putting was average. So we talked, don't we, about driver never wins your tournaments, distance never wins your tournament, but the only people that prove us wrong is Bryson.
It's him, isn't it? I've got to say. We're going to have to start saying, no long hitter's ever won it apart from Bryson.
So you're going to say what, sorry?
I was going to say there was three, like there was a lot more going on than just the Bryson show as well, because there was three hole-in-ones, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Unbelievable as well.
Ace Ventura had one on Sunday there.
Ace Ventura had one on Sunday, yeah. And then we had two on the Saturday, didn't we?
Jeff. And Jordan.
Jazzy Jeff and Jordan Spieth. Yeah, Jordan's was unbelievable, wasn't he? He holds that monster on the first, and then he goes that hole in one on the second. And then you think, and then he holds a monster on the third, holds a monster on the fourth, and you're just thinking.
And then holds a bunker shot on the fifth. like, what is going on here?
All we needed there then was to Jordan to have the Bryson factor and then to go for it on six. And that would have been the perfect start to any golf tournament in the history of golf.
Unbelievable, I know. But like. Did you see Westwood? So about the Bryson factor there. Westwood did it, got over the water and done like the same sort of like celebration, but he was like 200 yards behind him.
First class. It's exactly what you want, isn't it? But again, that's what we talk about, the entertainment factor and why you want to tune in. People who are watching the game and they're just getting into it, they don't understand it as well as we may understand it. You watch stuff like that and you're like, wow, this game's cool. I want to go out and try and hit it as far as I can.
That's it. I'm caught up in it anyway.
We all are. It's hard not to be. You'd think when we first started getting into the game and the shape the golfers were in before Tiger started, and now there's not an ounce of fat on any of the golfers, really. No. That's a small percentage. Whereas it was the complete opposite back then. It was like a lazy man's sport. Now it's a real athletic sport. If you're not athletic, you're not going to be in the top portion of the world rankings, are you?
Exactly. Well, speaking of the top portion of the world rankings, there's three people up there. Well, two up there, one not quite. who just can't seem to string four rounds together. Rory, Tommy, and Spieth.
Well, let's talk Rory first, because it's interesting you mention him. Looking at the statistics, him and Bryson were toe-to-toe. So lengthwise, yeah. So 321.4 for Bryson and 321.1 for Rory. But they're well ahead of the field. The tour average is 292.4, what we've spoke about. But Tommy was fourth in the rankings for distance, and he was 308 yards. So there's a clear 13, 14 yard difference on the average from the first couple to the rest of the field.
Yeah.
In the top half. So it's, they've got that advantage. But with Rory, I mean, he was in with a shout, wasn't he? And then you just got to put it down to six. He's put two in the water on six, made an unbelievable eagle with his third third ball for a double bogey. But yeah, Rory was there or thereabouts. But again, you're right what you're saying. He starts with a 66, and then he just doesn't kick on from there. Whereas he could have dominated that course. I mean, you've got to give a bit of respect to the course on the Sunday. It was difficult, wasn't it? There's only three players under par, I think, or two players under par. Nobody broke 70 all day.
These players know that. These players aren't coming in thinking, oh, it's going to be an eat a doddle. Do you know the greens firm up? Do you know it gets windy around there? Like four under one last year. They're expecting a test, but it's just, I don't know, just you don't see them stringing these four. They are gonna do it. Like Tommy, Rory, and Spieth will all win this year, I believe.
Yeah. Do you see Rory as a one-trick pony? Because if you look at Bryson, he's got two driver swings, hasn't he? He's got the beast and he's got the controlled one. He's got the different things he can do with the clock system, where he hits certain shots depending on the face of a clock. So do you think Rory's a one-trick pony, where he's got one
trick pony for the man who's been world number one, major champion, and all that? It's hard to say them words, isn't it, really?
No, and I'm not disrespecting him. I just think that what I mean by one trick pony is even that one trick, he's mastered it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. What I'm saying is, you're talking about springing four rounds together. Is his inability to spring those four rounds together down to his inability to react to conditions and to change his game up for how the course is playing from a Thursday to a Sunday? Or do you think he's just having a bit of bad luck? Or,
well, I think famously he said that he would never change his game for the Open, so that does bring in that argument a little bit, doesn't it? Where he's only got the high shot and he's not changed his game for one tournament a year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Years ago. But then I think it's just, it's more mental than anything, I feel. Because when he's swinging it as good as anyone, and it doesn't really matter how it's going, it's going, isn't it? If he's long enough, he's accurate enough, and he's good enough. Yeah. So I think it's all mental, to be honest, with not stringing the rounds together.
Yeah, and what about Tommy?
Well, see, it's the same again, Tommy. Young kids at home and off-course distractions and different things. You don't know what happens when they leave the golf course. Like where Tiger was, like going home and running and getting in the gym. And
well, does it go back to what Chris Hansen says about the selfishness at all levels? Exactly. So he obviously, Tiger was about himself, and this is his routine, to be the best and to dominate the world. Is the fact that they're not being selfish and they are being more family people, but is that not a good thing?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're only speculating, aren't we? I am anyway, saying it could be the families, but if you think about the games, they're as good as anyone on the day. And it's not the day we're worried about, it's the in-between times. You know what I mean? You don't know what people are thinking of or what's going on.
No, it makes sense. It's a tough school, isn't it? But when you're getting paid £500,000 for finishing in the top 10 or whatever it is, you're not really complaining, are you?
No, definitely not. But it's more about more than money, isn't it, for these boys?
I think when you get to a
certain
level,
anyone in the world top 50 is financially secure, really, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
At least for 5-10 years, surely.
Yeah, definitely. And even we spoke there, didn't we, about when you mentioned about Spieth, and we were talking 3 or 4 weeks ago about the potential for him losing his card over the next 3 or 4 years, and now he's 53rd in the world rankings, just outside the top 50.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We gave him the boost he needed.
Yeah. Well, going back to the golf there, that Corey Connors just sneaks around, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Not making much noise, not doing much, pops with the odd eagle, keeps it solid, and was just about, wasn't he, the whole tournament?
He was. He just didn't seem to go away, and then he made a couple of mistakes back nine on the Sunday, and it sort of faded off, and he couldn't bring it back. But again, Sunday, that was such a tough day, wasn't it?
I know. Well, Jazzy Jane Watanabe, not shot, but he's shooting nine over.
10, Was it 9 or 10? Was it
9 or 10 over? That it was a game. He shot 9 or 10 over.
Yeah, they played together, didn't he, as well?
Me and you going out there, isn't it? That.
I reckon the bogey. We do that. The competition, the bogey boys against the pro. I reckon we would have had a chance taking them on that day.
Part of them. Well, it all went. I feel it all went wrong for Westwood when he didn't get up and down. Well, when he didn't hit the green on 16 from like 157, Bryson was up against the lip. I feel like that was door open, and then yeah. I think Bryson got up and out the bunker up and down. Then Westwood didn't get up and down. Killed his day off, didn't it, really, that's
your last realistic chance of a birdie, that, because 17 and 18, I can't remember when I was listening to the commentary, but they mentioned about from holes 10 to 16, the field was like a couple over par, and then for 17 and 18, the field was like 80 over par.
Well, and then, especially you talk about 16 being your only opportunity, Bryson's hitting 8-iron into 17, 200 and something yards, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you can compete with that.
Well, that's the advantages he's got, isn't it? He's not only got the advantages of getting it out the rough, like you've just mentioned there. He's also got the advantages of hitting scoring clubs into these par threes when other players are going to be hitting long irons. And the first hole was a prime example of that. Jordan Spieth hit driver 5-iron into the first. Rory hit driver wedge.
Like, that's a massive difference there.
It's a massive difference, though. And then Rory knocked his wedge to about 6-7 foot. And Jordan Spieth knocked his driver 5-iron into the front bunker. And that just goes back to this drive and distance debate. If you take the yardages off, all you're going to do is see more of driver 5-irons, driver 6-irons into greens, more greens being missed, more bogeys being made, and just take the entertainment factor out of it. And you're never going to see anybody going for the sixth.
Have the crabs come out the shells to start talking about this distance thing again, or what?
No, I think they've back in the box job.
Yeah, but like you'd think that if they were ever going to come out, it's like today, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think they know quite well where the...
We don't want our par fives being greened.
Yes, we do. Obviously we do. Of course we do. Of course we do.
We want to see people making 18s as well on it, like John Daly. Like, we want that. That's awesome.
Well, that's it. Like, Rory, driver, water, driver, water, driver, I think 5-iron, putt. 7.
Exactly. You know, just a little bit on the Bay Hill itself. Do you know why the umbrella is the logo is an umbrella?
No idea.
So they were trying to come up with the name of it, and they couldn't think of a logo to put like on the sign. And this woman, it was raining, the woman opened an umbrella, and that exact umbrella like, opened and was there in front of them, and they were like, "Should we use that?" And they were like, "Go ahead," and they just put that on the logo. Simple as that. Done
and dusted. That's like, you would never have thought that. Well, I wouldn't have. Unbelievable stuff. But it wasn't just the men's game that we were speaking about. It's the women's game, the Drive On Championship. Didn't really watch it because I've mentioned there, it's difficult to watch it when you've got the PGA Tour playing and then you've got the LPGA Tour at the same time. You're not going to go on the red button and press and watch it when the PGA Tour's on. So more to be done. But it was in Florida again, some tough conditions. Austin Ernst, she won by 5 shots at 15 under par. At one stage, she was said seven shot lead. But considering she was 15 under, -4 was enough to get you to top 10.
Was it? Yeah. Charlie got a little top 10 finish. I see he snuck in there.
Yeah, Charlie Hull, top 10. Yeah, she had a good final round, 2 under, which is what I can't say about Patty. I had a bet, didn't I? We spoke to Sophie Walker on the podcast and we asked who's there to look forward to it coming up in the women's game, and she mentioned, do you want to mention the name, Kev? Patty.
Well, you know what I'm like with the names, and I've actually even done a little fact file on it for in a minute, but a name is so difficult to pronounce.
Yeah,
we'll call it Tavatanakit.
Okay, so she was 150 to 1 and Jordan Spieth was 28 to 1, so put a bet on them. If they both would have won, it would have been 50 G's, wouldn't it, Kev? So,
50 G's, baby.
Jordan Spieth placed, and she had the worst round of the day and finished outside the top 6, so I didn't win. So she's not on my Christmas list. She's not on my Christmas list this year, but you've done a bit of a fact file about it, haven't you, Kev? So what have you learned?
Because it's International Women's Day. Yeah, Patty Tavratanakit. She went to KPIS International School in Bangkok, and then she enrolled in UCLA, and she planned to focus on a degree. Well, a real Thai nickname is Meow. Have that one. but Patty is what her friends call her, so she gets called Patty, you know what I mean? She's the second Thai golfer to ever be awarded the Rolex Junior Player of the Year from the AJGA in 2016. She recently joined IMG.
Yeah.
John Tuggerden. Why are these knife names for me here?
Put your teeth back in.
The Juntagagan sisters, Michelle Wee and Hideki Matsuyama, are all part of the same group.
Yeah.
And she just seems a very, very good player, one to watch. And she's coming through. She's got a couple of wins on the Symetra Tour. She hasn't won on the actual LPGA Tour just yet.
Yeah.
What did you say the record was on the Symetra? 167,000?
116.
So she earned 75. And she won back-to-back. The Donald Ross Classic and the Daniel Downey Credit Union Classic in just four starts. So she's got off to a flyer, so you can see why that Sophie Walker was speaking quite highly of her. And yeah, she said that she hit a long ball as well. So,
yeah,
just it's one of them. It's
want to keep a lookout on the. I mean, the LPGA Tour takes a break now until the end of March, but once it's back up and running, it's one to keep an eye out. I'm pretty sure that first LPGA Tour win is just around the corner, isn't it?
No, I wish it was this week too. I'll speak with people to let us down anyway.
Well, no, it was each way, so I just needed a top six and a top eight. Top eight for Spieth, which he done. Finished fourth, didn't he? And then a top six for Patty. But she shot four over final round to finish tied 13th.
Yeah, she's only 21, isn't she? So maybe a bit of pressure, but
maybe, not... yeah. Maybe. So... It was a difficult one because she went into the final round minus seven. And then finish the tournament minus three. I definitely want to look forward to in the future.
No, definitely. It's as you say, we'd like to put a bit more awareness on the women's game. So if anyone's listening, you can go and check it out and maybe keep an eye on her on the leaderboards and that for hopefully her first win's not too far away.
Definitely not.
That Austin there, 225,000. She won for that.
225K. Yeah, we spoke, didn't we? The purse was 1.8 million, sorry.
Yeah.
And we said, didn't we, Morikawa won 1.5 million just for winning the WGC.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. But I feel, as we keep saying, it's on the rise, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But they're not helping themselves by putting them on at the same time as the male event. You're subjecting it to one or the other.
I know, but as well, remember going back to the Sophie Walker podcast, she said that a lot of these golf courses only renewing the contracts for 1 year on the LPGA Tour, so it's hard to make a schedule.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Maybe pickings, they're taking whatever they can sort of get.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. But that was it then, the two tournaments, the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour for this week. Only one tournament to look forward to this week, which is the Players' Championship, the fifth major, and we'll come on to that pretty soon. But before we do, it's that time again, Kev.
Is it now?
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bust, the birdie bogey bust, birdie bogey bust.
Birdie bogey bust time. Is it me or you this week?
That tune.
It's amazing, isn't it? Any more feedback?
Yeah, a couple, you know. Andy Fruin and Al Liam as well, both saying, like, laughing about it, like, what? They said the Birdie Bogey Bust tune with laughing faces, so I don't know. I just took that as a positive, but they actually could have been taking the piss as well.
Well, we like it. That's the most important thing, so we'll crack on with it. What's your birdie this week, Kev?
So my birdie is Bryson's drive on the par five, but not only that, his reaction. When he's just pointing forwards and just celebrating, like, that is my birdie for me.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to argue that. I've got the exact same one.
Do you know what? Well, yeah, then. If that's your birdie, I'm going to go with a different birdie then. I'm going to pick the Bogey Boys takeover of the story by R. Keaton.
Yeah.
He was in Florida, wasn't he? And got a load of footage for us, and it looked boss, do you know what I mean?
It did look good. He got all the superstars, didn't he? Bryson smashing three woods. It looked like Bryson topped that one. Did you see it?
Yeah, he looked shagged, didn't he? I know.
My birdie, same as you. It's that, you know, it was the Saturday. The Saturday one was the birdie for me, not the Sunday one. Just because...
No, the Saturday was the best, because less pressure, so you can have more fun.
That's it, yeah. It was like, but it just... It's the way the crowd reacted and his reaction to it, and then the picture after it, the still that we put on the social media.
No.
Just unbelievable. Just see the ball take off. that's my birdie, but it also leads on to my bogey as well for this week.
Go on, you might as well go then.
So mine is the Sky commentary.
Oh.
So I've never really had an issue with the Sky commentary. I think it's quite factual. It's good. But there's certain times in a golf tournament where you need to jump off your seat and get excited, because anybody watching that on six, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then Andrew Coulthard comes out and goes, oh, the Bryson show, and then makes all these comments. I can't remember exactly what he said. But then he goes, oh, so now that's over. Is that him done for the tournament? And it's like, no, it's not. He's just won the tournament. It's not that. That's not him done for the tournament, because he's actually just went on to win it. It's, I just don't understand why. That's a perfect opportunity to elevate the game of golf using your platform. And they just haven't done it. It was just so negative. Like, oh, Bryson, well, what's the point of him doing that? He's in the rough. And then Rory hit one. Mr. I can't do no wrong. I don't know why I've got an issue with Rory this week. I actually like Rory.
I know why, because he was in your picks.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it's just Rory. Well, Rory's just hit it. And he's only 9 yards behind him. Yeah. Well, Rory took a similar line. And Rory absolutely nailed it, and they hit it the same distance anyway. So what's that supposed to prove? You're not saying a Lee Westwood or a Jordan Spieth have got it 9 yards behind them. You're talking about the two bombers on tour, the ones who hit it the furthest out of anybody. So for me, I was just expecting. I don't know what the American commentary was like for the same event, but in situations like that, you look. We'll come on to TPC Sawgrass and the players later, but. Better than most on that putt Tiger held on 17. These are iconic commentaries for iconic moments. And Bryson, that could be something of the norm moving forward. But every time you go back to Bay Hill now, you can guarantee on the promo that will be on the promo.
Exactly.
And there was just no spark there, and that was why it's the bogey for me. I just expected more. I don't mind the commentary 9 times out of 10, but that was my bogey for the week, because it was just dull.
Well, I'm back in that because I hate the commentary, don't I?
You do.
I hate it, man. So, speaking of something else that I hate, my bogey is Patrick Reed cheating again, or look like he was cheating again. The fans, you see the video on social media where he's like,
no,
haven't you seen it?
This is new to me.
Under his ball, like trying to put, and he's pulling like leaves out or something. I don't think he's actually cheating, but it's
controversial.
He's cheating. And he's pulling like grass out. I'll post it up. He's pulling grass.
I've not seen that at all. I didn't know that happened. Yeah, you on your Patrick Reed watch though?
No. Well, speaking of eyes like a hawk, you had a little Patrick Reed moment yourself, didn't you? On the 17th at Sawgrass replica that we done.
I did. So controversial. Yeah, we'll have to leave that one on a bit of a cliffhanger for everybody to watch the video. The video should be out in the next couple of days. Essentially, what we've done is at Formby Hall, there's a golf hole, the second par three, which is a replica of the 17th at Sawgrass. And we had a match promotional video, the Bogey Boys against two professional golfers. And yeah, we'll leave it there.
We've done it again. Two professional golfers, David Costco and Matthew Wilson. PJ professionals at Formby Hall.
Sorry. Yeah. I done that on the intro, didn't I?
Boss.
These two pros. It's all about the bogey boys. These are just here with us. I know. But yeah, so what's your bust then?
My bust is I got so hyped up and so ready for that where you picked the two golfers, bet to come in again, and it just did. It just went so wrong, didn't it?
It's so wrong.
Spoke and it was not right.
I know. And we sort of got it in our heads that because the first one that we won and we got to give away a driver, that was just the norm.
I thought it was going to win every week. I didn't see how it could ever go wrong.
I know. And then when you're putting £20 on it to win £700, you're thinking, surely it's not this easy. And it was proven.
I know. I think they were all the opposite, wasn't they, than what we'd done? And Rory got spanked as well, didn't he, by Wrensky?
Yeah, Richie, what a player, by the way. What a player. Do you know, we're talking on the Order of Merit. That's DJ's secret weapon, he was telling me. DJ picks him all the time, and he's been accumulating all sorts of points, yeah. He's puff four.
When we were watching it, Nicola's getting banged into the golf club because we've got it on all the time. She's watching it, and she's like, who's Wrensky? And I was like, I haven't got a clue, you know.
But you know, I was listening, the commentator said this. He got banned in college for temper issues. He got suspended from college for a few weeks for temper issues. So, you know, as he starts getting more established, we might see another Tittle Hatton on the rise. You love to see it, don't you?
Yeah. Needs a good old fight, doesn't it? The old PGA Tour, just a good old fashioned bust up on the 18th.
Well, yeah, this is what I like. This is what I liked about the Fitzpatrick and Bryson. When it was at Wentworth and the other one was at the Safeway, and they had a bit of a hoo ha, didn't they, from across the pond? But yeah, you do. You need a rivalry, don't you? Tiger and Phil had it for a bit, didn't they?
No, I'm talking like Happy Gilmore and Bob Barker bust up like with the Avid fight.
Are you talking full on fight, fisticuffs?
Full on fight.
Right, my bust is the fact that you don't get relief from a divot.
Yeah, oh my God, I am backing that.
That is ridiculous because that ruined that tournament. I'm happy Bryson won, backing Bryson all the way. I'm so happy he won. But for me, Lee Westwood has absolutely nutted that drive down 18 and he's rolled into a divot. And because of that, and because of how dangerous that pin is, he cannot go for that pin then. It takes it out of play. So he has to hit the middle of the green and he's left with a monster putt, which I don't know what the percentages are to hold something like that on 18, but it's unlikely that's going to happen. And he's done well just to two-put it and put a bit of pressure on Bryson to take the crown home. But why would you not get relief from that? It's ridiculous.
It's not exactly your fault, is it? So really, it should just be, you should be able to move it out.
Exactly. You should be able to just to drop it out the same way you would if it was plugged. Because if that plugs in a divot, you get the drop.
Well, it's the same as my bus from a few weeks ago with the rules of golf. I know they got revised in 2019, but they need another whack at it.
They need
another revision.
They do. But yeah, birdie bogey bus for the week.
Done and dusted.
Moves us nicely on to the Ryder Cup 1959, the last one in this format. Let's wrap up the 13th Ryder Cup, which was hosted at the El Dorado Country Club in America.
The points-based system from the 59 season. Four rookies come in, so it's good that, like, once again, we're talking about the age to bring in the, if you play well enough, you get in the team. Do you know what I mean?
The USA, yeah. Well, again, we're talking about the change the format. They won the previous Ryder Cup, but they changed the format again for picking the 1957 team. They selected the team based on the order of merit for the 2 years, so who'd been the most consistent for the 2 years, and now they changed it to just for tournaments in April, June, and July. So whoever were the top players in April, June, and July in the 1959 season got picked. So it's only a 3 month spell, which is very strange.
That could bring in like an informed player, couldn't it?
Well, not when it's in November, no.
Yeah, well, you've got me there.
You know what I mean? You pick your players in July, and then you've got August, September, October, where they could come out of form, and then you're picking them in for the November. It was just no wonder they got tonked. They only won two matches, one foursomes match and one singles match, and got beat 8.5 to 3.5.
You know what? Another one little good fact from this is, you know, when I was talking about Harry Wheatman getting a suspension because he said he'd never play as long as that Reese was the captain.
Yeah,
but he's back this again playing.
Wasn't Reese the captain?
Yeah. So he's made a stand, got himself a ban, got a tribunal, got it overturned, and then still played anyway.
Unbelievable. But that's all I've got on the 59 Ryder Cup. I know we said we're keeping them short and sweet, but they do get meaty from the 60s, unless you've got anything else, Kevin.
Just the average ages again that I keep talking about. There's a lot more players in the 20s now.
Yeah, that's it. Starting to build a bit of momentum, isn't it? But yeah, the next one back over at Royal Lydon St. Anne's, 1961. It's the debut for Arnold Palmer, and it's a change of the format. I say it gets a bit more meaty when Jack and that start playing in them. So really looking forward to talking about this now as we build up to the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits this September.
Can't wait for it, man. I say it every week, but I can't.
No, I know. But look, Ryder Cup this year, we've got our four majors, but this week, it's what's known as the fifth major, the Players' Championship.
It's definitely the fifth major. Like, it's you're the Players' Champion, aren't you? It's the same course. It's as good as a major in my eyes.
It is, yeah. Well, the women have got five majors, haven't they? I don't know why they just don't make it a fifth major, but it's been going since 1974. So yeah, we could have been talking about Jack Jack on 21 majors if that was the case. He's won this three times. The most wins. He won it in 1974. He won it in 1976 and 1978.
So he hasn't won it. He's never won it at Sawgrass.
Oh, he's never won at Sawgrass then.
Right, so that's mad, isn't it?
What was my question? Who's won at the Players or who's won at Sawgrass? Because I might have to revise that question then.
No, it wasn't that. I was just ready to with some information of it was because it was bought for $1 in 1978. Dean Beeman bought it for $1, bought the land in 1978. And they were going to get people in to like get all the bushes off the land, but what they ended up doing is bringing a load of goats in, right, to eat all the shrubs and all the different bushes and that. And then the goats, they made it like basically their land, like they were that comfortable on there that they ended up getting into like fights with the alligators. They end up climbing into the clubhouse and like getting into the grill room at the astonishment of all the diners and stuff when they were in there. Like the goats were running amok on the roof of the clubhouse and everything.
It's like Planet of the Apes when the apes take over the humans.
The goats, man, and Sawgrass.
Planet of the Goats at Sawgrass, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So that was, I didn't realise that it had changed. I just made the assumption that since it started in 74, it had been at Sawgrass, no?
No, just... it's been the TPC Stadium course has been the home since 1982. Yeah.
So Jack's never won it at Sawgrass then.
No. Still a players champion, isn't he? But just
still a players champ. Yeah, Tigers won it twice: 2001, 2013, and we spoke there. The better than most put on 17. Tigers stood on the tee and watched Fred Funk four put from the back of the green. I don't know if you remember. And after it, he said, "Take note, Tiger, don't leave yourself that putt." And he goes and drains it from not the exact same spot, but a similar spot, just after watching him four putt as well to go on and win. Unbelievable, 60 foot. And again, that Koch, better than most commentary. We talked about it before. They had a perfect opportunity to have something really cemented when Bryson hit that driver. An iconic statement, but obviously missed the boat.
Well, what we'll just add that better than most to your put on our video of the recreation.
Yeah, mine's 6 foot though, not 60 foot. That's the only problem.
You'll zoom out.
Yeah, zoom out. Yeah. Yeah, but talking of Fred's, talk about best moments. One of my favourite moments was Fred Couples. Back in the 1999 Players when he knocked it in the water, and then it's his second one off the tee, slammed up.
Yeah, I only found out about that yesterday. To be honest, it was unbelievable, literal slam dunk, isn't it?
Slam dunk for par, yeah.
I think the main thing about that video is where he says it's the same club, and he just comes short, and it's the exact same club from the exact same position, and it goes into the hole, not into the water. It's mad, isn't it?
Shows your strikes. Obviously, hasn't caught the first one. He's caught the first one like the majority of mine yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of the people said you're down at the drop zone, aren't they?
That's it, yeah. Well, that's what the commentators were saying. Like, why is he going back from the tee? But obviously, he felt more comfortable hitting that yardage than he would have done hitting the drop zone yardage. So, and he's backed it up by throwing it right in on the button.
Last couple of years ago when Tiger ended up making a seven or a double on there? And he hit it long, and then he went to the drop zone, put it in the water again, went to the drop zone, chipped it over, and then two-putted. A couple of years ago, anyway, but he'd done it. And then they revised the footage, and when it went in, he could have dropped on the path. He didn't even have to go to the drop zone.
Oh, because of the line that it crossed?
And he wouldn't have been closer to the hole, yeah. So he would have been put over the path.
Wow.
Put another two in the water, joke.
Ridiculous. What about your best moments?
Well, I was about to say, my best moment is just, Target again, just seeing a different side of him when Kevin Na knocked the putt in and runs after it and gets it.
Oh, yeah.
Target knocks it and picks up and looks at Kevin Na, and then they're like, they have a laugh, and then they hug and walk off the green. Like, it's just, you wouldn't see Target doing that back in the day, would you? So that was, I loved that.
There is. There's another Tiger moment, isn't there? I always think of this as the arrival of Tiger, a young kid in 96, was it? 95, with his bucket hat on his shorts, and he holds that monster. To win back-to-back US amateurs, and he...
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pressure moments.
it just shows, well, even in 2005, there he still had the same fist pump, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
The same fist pump.
And that's what we talk about when we talk back at the beginning of the show about the electricity that he brings and Bryson doing those fists. It's not as good, but when you haven't got Tiger no more and there doesn't look like there's another Tiger coming, unless
Body Coward pulls his finger out.
But this is it. You want that, don't you? You want the passion. We spoke about this at earlier episodes about how frustrating it is. No passion on the course. Yeah. I think to grow the game and to continue the entertainment factor, you've got to see that, haven't you?
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a landmark event on Thursday because the Players last year was cancelled after one day.
Yeah, because of COVID.
COVID.
Rory McIlroy still defending champ then from 2019.
Yeah, basically. But the scariest thing about that is that's a year since COVID began.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Wow.
What a year it's been.
What a year.
The birth of the Bogey Boys podcast.
Yeah. Probably the only good thing to happen out of 2020, wasn't it?
Definitely, yeah. I think so. That and Bryson's muscles.
Yeah.
But yet, I had a little look at the scoring. The highest winning total was 289. That was from Jack back in 1978. But now that you've told me that wasn't at Sawgrass, I probably knocked that out a bit.
I killed you without that Sawgrass.
That stat was ready coming, but obviously it wasn't at the same course, so it doesn't matter. The lowest scoring was Greg Norman in 1994. 264, won by four shots over the four rounds. If you compare that to others, Sergio Garcia won in 2008 with a total score of 283. So it's nearly a 20-shot difference. It's a lot, yeah. So whether the course has got more difficult over the years or whether Greg Norman, 1994, world number one, wasn't he? He was the master, wasn't he? So, yeah. But no, it's one I'm looking forward to. The good thing about this, and like we say, it's like a major. It starts on Sky Sports at 11:30 in the morning.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, and what's also good about this year's one is, I don't know if you remember last year, because it was only for one day, but they had the Every Player Live set up. It's the first time that they trialled it. Do you remember it?
Yeah, oh, I see, yeah.
What it is, they've got 93 cameras set up around the course that's going to capture roughly 31,000 shots over approximately 430 rounds of golf. So you've got the potential to watch every shot of every player.
I challenge you to do that.
We can certainly watch Tommy, can't we? Get all the coverage and watch Tommy from.
Well, we probably actually see a few shots of Tommy. I didn't see one shot from that final day.
Ah, well, he was five over at one point, wasn't he? So
he tailed off, but come on, show something.
I know exactly. We'll get to watch that, yeah. But there's going to be a total of 120 cameras set up, and 93 of those are going to be for every shot live. The others are going to be NBC and PGA Tour live cameras. So they've got 27 between them, but 93 for this. So there was news, wasn't there, drop that the PGA Tour have done a deal with Amazon to do this exact thing on the PGA Tour live. So this is a good test in the start of things to come, I think, where we get more footage, and you get to select the players that you want to watch.
It's one of them. It's a bit expensive, isn't it, to be getting every camera, every shot at every event?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I suppose Amazon aren't exactly skint, are they, to be honest? Like, so
it's expensive for me and you, it's not expensive for them.
Yeah. I know. Well, hey, well, speaking about getting people in, right? Do you know Sawgrass bring in like 200 odd people and they end up doing like 12,000 hours between them to get the course up to scratch for what they need to do?
What, the course maintenance people?
Yeah.
Do they?
Which correlates with exactly what our friend Lee said when he played it, which the course is actually quite a bit of a dump when it's not actually hosting the players.
Right, yeah, the maintenance, so yeah.
It goes right with what he was saying. Just bring people in for the event and then...
Just the one call, yeah, just, yeah, to get it in perfect shape for that. And so what type of course is it? Is it a members course, a private course, what?
I couldn't tell you, but my next fact was going to be that there's a volunteer segment that you can actually volunteer and work, and there's a volunteer party after it on the Sunday as well. So, do you fancy it next year or what?
100%. Let's pick the mics up and get over there.
We're just going to volunteer to do our podcast at the start of the year 17th.
You know, you mentioned that you've got 120 cameras, all right? If you just make that 121 and we'll bring ours.
Exactly, yeah. Well, if anything like yesterday filming goes, we need about 40 cameras to get three shots.
honestly, it's a sign of things to come though, because we're going to be doing a lot more on course stuff now that the courses are open. So this is just a little taster of what's to come, isn't it, Kevin?
Definitely.
But I'm looking forward to this one. I always look forward to the players. It's obviously cancelled last year. Disappointing, but there was bigger fish to fry with the pandemic and what was going on with coronavirus. So hopefully we're seeing the tail end of coronavirus and we can start getting back to playing and we can get to watch an unbelievable tournament over the 4 days at TPC Sawgrass and get to pretty much watch whoever we want, can't we?
You're gonna kill me, you know.
Why?
Because I haven't even looked at the pots and I'm going to do my picks on a whim now.
I'm only going to kill you if you get more points than me because I've done some research.
Oh, you know what? Okay.
Do you want me to go first on the picks then for this week?
Go on.
Okay, so my first pick, Patrick Cantlay.
Nice.
He's had a couple of weeks off. He's had a bug, hasn't he? He's not been well. Pulled out of the WGC. But previous to the WGC, he's playing unbelievable golf.
He was.
Birdie fest. So normally between 10 and 12 under on average wins this tournament. It's one of the most difficult courses. So I think he's just got an all-round game and he's not shy of hole and putt. So I'm going to back Patrick Cantlay for pick one. Pot two, Harald Varner the third. Just because I felt...
I was just looking at that. Like, he was pot three last week. So it's...
He's made the cut, hasn't he? Yeah, so...
It's hard to, like, you're picking him and you're not getting as much benefit because he's moved pots.
Well, I'm just picking him because I felt like a traitor last week because...
Yeah. I'm going to send me back on him, I think.
Pot three, Henrik Norlander, the Swede, cemented himself on the PGA Tour. Now, this is probably one of the biggest tournaments he's played in. So, for a pot three pick, he's had a good few finishes this season. So, anticipate he's gonna crack on and hoping for a good pick there. And then pot four, who else? Hudson Swafford.
I might have to say back on him as well, you know.
You could not do that, not to Hud. He's not in the best of form, but, you know, he backed us, so we'll back him.
He is the boy.
And that's my picks for this week.
Right. So, obviously, anyone watching this on YouTube, they'll notice that I wasn't actually hardly listening to what you were saying there because I was staring at the pots. So I'm going to pick Big DJ. I feel he's going to do a bit of testing. He's world number one.
And not being in the best of form, though. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about him being unstoppable. You know what I mean?
I blame not betting in the Sim 2 driver. So I feel like he's had a week off there testing it.
Yeah.
Getting out there, a bit of practice.
Yeah. You can never write.
On his day, he's unstoppable, isn't he? So.
Yeah, exactly. You can never write him off. He's the main man, isn't he? Good pick.
Exactly. So then I'm going to go for Carlos Ortiz.
Why?
Just stood out to me there. Oh, my God.
What a man.
This is funny if I get more than you, you know. Pot three, Richie Wrensky, because...
Yeah.
He's the DJ secret weapon, and DJ seems to be at the top of the pops.
Yeah. Although, second
he's actually
now.
Been overtaken now, hasn't he, by Scott Stafford, my mate from Australia.
Yeah.
And then pot four, I'm going to have to stick with him. Big Hud.
Good lad. Yeah.
Big Smofty. Although I was going to change him to Harry Higgs because he's an absolute legend, but we'll stick with Swofty because he's an absolute legend.
Yeah, perfect. There's our picks.
I get more points than you this week, it's a travesty.
Let me have a look.
We're doing ourselves in by picking early again. I think we should stop that as of next week. But
stop picking early.
Yeah, just pick them on the Wednesday or whenever.
Let's have a look at this leaderboard. So you have dropped outside the top 10 now. Oh my God, guess how many points you got again?
30 odd, wasn't
it? 30 again.
30 again.
30 again. 30, Mr. 30, consistent. 30. I think, yeah, 30, 30, 30, yeah. Really? I got 38 this week. Slowly climbing up, 27th I am now. Nice. Nice. I am still in double figures, though. I'm on 93. You're on 164. And the lead is 271. It's quite tight at the top, though. The top The top seven are all in the 200s.
I didn't know that, Scott. He's right. He always talks about golf, but I didn't think he was that into it. But he seems to be good at picking the old Order of Merit picks, doesn't he?
It's either that, or he just does what you do and just gets lucky.
Yeah. We have a couple of non-starters this week, did we?
Non-starters.
As in, like, didn't put the picks in?
Yeah, we had three.
Yeah.
Yeah, 0 pointers. So, yeah, I think we'll do two.
It's like your fantasy team. Should we do it? Actually, should we do that?
What?
If you don't put your picks in, you just get your picks from the week before. It's or are you happy with them getting none? Yeah.
So let me know what the script is, and if we need to, we can sort something out. It's not a problem.
Yeah, we can just leave their picks in from the week before. If players that they picked out haven't played, like say they picked DJ and doesn't play, they don't get it, but they get points from who they picked a lot. Like your fantasy league, like when you don't change your team.
Yeah, definitely.
That could be a good idea, couldn't it?
Yeah. But I can't wait for this. I cannot wait for this. And not just this week, we've also got Richard Mansell podcast. It's a professional route, but with a caddy twist. So we've got them both on, some great stories. No. Can't wait to get that one out there this weekend.
It is brilliant.
And
also, I think I'm just going to do this. You asked me, should we do it? I said no, but now I'm going to do it. I think every single professional route that we've done so far, and every time we do them, we're just going to upload them straight away to Patreon. So all the patrons will get access to that for a pound a week. And
okay.
Then now that the on-course stuff's coming, and we're going to organise a patron like gold membership where you're going to get a package of lessons in with your Bogey Boys content and stuff. So we've had the Patreon set up for a couple of weeks, and we've got a few people supporting the podcast. But as we go forward now, we should get a few more, because it's going to be get a lot more bang for your buck, and you're going to be getting lessons as well as the videos for the same price.
Well, it's going to be moving from a support tool where you just get an early access to you getting everything as soon as it's recorded, and you're going to be also getting video content of us on the course, and you're also going to be getting lessons packages from PJ professional David Goscombe as we continue to work with him throughout this.
Yeah, exactly. And then hopefully there could be a bit of big news where we can offer CBD package on top of that as well. We've done an interesting podcast with golfers CBD, didn't we? So there could be things like that on the horizon if we play our cards right. So it's all exciting news, and as we just done there with the Order of Merit, and as we do most weeks, we're doing some of this stuff on the fly, aren't we? We're winging it.
That's what. Yeah.
It's some of it. Do you know what I mean?
But it's
organized winging in it.
Organised winging, yeah. Well, that's it. We just want to continue to grow. Talks of a studio as well. We're getting a studio set up, and we'll enhance that visual experience as we can start to do more things outside of these restrictions. We can actually record these in a studio and release the visual content, and it gets a bit more interactive, can't it, Kev?
Exactly, yeah. I'm just literally itching to get out there on the golf course.
Not long now. 2 weeks in your mind, 3 weeks in reality.
Speaking of, do you know, because I was looking at the pics there on the Bogey Boys Instagram, a message just come through there off Mikey McKeown, who's one of our Patreon members as well. And one of our, obviously we've got Arcos, and he's bought the Arcos through, that must have been through our code or whatever, he's bought it. And he's just messaged in, and he's uploaded it. He's started it. So he started his subscription to the Arcos thing, and he's just put, shouldn't have really done that. I'm losing 3 weeks of my year's free subscription now, because then
he's that eager to get it set up and ready to go that he's lost
just
3 weeks.
It's just saying West Lancashire Golf Club.
We'll see if we can sort something out for him. We'll speak to the people at the Arcos. We'll be able to get something.
Is that what we can do? Can we?
We can do whatever we want, can't we? I think.
Oh, brilliant.
We'll see.
That code's still live, the Bogey Boys 10 code on the Arcos website, if anyone's as eager as Mike there to get stuff going and get set up for the season, they can get the Arcos equipment, which is what we always talk about, the measuring distance measuring devices that we've got in the end of our clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got the artificial intelligence plug-in, so it gives you a satellite feed of distance, and it works as a caddy. So we'll tell you what clubs to hit. Again, as part of all the on-course stuff that we're going to be doing throughout this summer, that's going to be part of the statistics that we use. It gives you strokes gained statistics through the app. So we'll be using that just to gauge our performance, and we'll be interlinking that with PGA professional David Goskell about what we want to work on and just trying to improve, aren't we, in all the elements of our game. And there's no better way of doing that than using the Arcos, because it gives you all the data.
Well, there is, and just for that, this is basically just for the, because we haven't really spoke about it, because we haven't really been doing much playing, but just for any of the new listeners that I don't really know what it is, it's basically you play five rounds and it tracks every shot and it tracks how far you're hitting each shot, so then you get an average distance of each thing, and then after each club, sorry, and then after so many rounds, it actually starts clubbing you, and it gives you the wind and it gives you the temperature and it gives you every single little bit of information, doesn't it, that you need, and it's brought my game on leaps and bounds.
You're a perfect example for it, aren't you? Because when you like to think that you can squeeze everything out of your wedge, when it's realistically it's a 9-iron or even a soft 8, and you'll think, I'll get a wedge there then. But there's proof when we've played, isn't there, where you've got a bit of wind and it's telling you it's a soft 9. Or it's a soft 8 or a hard 9, and you were thinking wedge, and then you've gone with the nine, and you've got a pin eye. So it's
one of them. You walk off the course and you don't really think back to the time of how did I make that bogey? It's because I had the wrong club choice. But this is makes you accountable for it, because it tells you, and if you go against, you know that you've went against it. So it is good for your own accountability. And at the end of the day, the more shots you can get right, and the more information you've got, the better golf you're going to play.
100%. And you can take the data then to your professional, wherever you're playing, and then they can work on specifics. And that's one of the benefits that we're going to use it for, is we're going to go and take the data to PGA professional David Goskell, as we like to call him.
Not just some pro like he was before.
Not just some pro like he was like he was introduced yesterday and before. So we'll take the data to him and say, look, obviously this is the part of the game struggling. Let's get to work on it. So the technology is out there. Why not use it to help improve your game?
Exactly. It's going to be great when he looks at it and says, it says it here, Mark, that you're hitting your driver 190. You sure that's on the right club?
I'll be like, am I hitting it that far?
Hey, great yesterday when you was hitting 9-9 and I was hitting 52. Although you did make a 2 and I made a 3, but just... You need to get that speed up. I think you need to get them clubs up.
Listen, I'm stiff as a board. I haven't played golf for months. Just leave it with me. As soon as I get that flexibility back, I'm ready to go.
But I'm just giving you a little heads up that it needs to get sorted out.
We'll get there. But look, another great podcast episode, mate. I've enjoyed it as we do every week. And look, it won't be long before we're back on the golf course playing, and another unbelievable week of golf to enjoy.
Can't wait for it, brother. Cannot wait.
And we'll be back next week to review it all as we build up to the Masters, not long now.
Yeah, no, we will. But until next week,
see you all soon.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.